talking about finding Jesus through prayer, through talking to God, in a way it should be the other way around, right? Jesus finding us through answering our prayer, because he wasn't even seeking God, but God was seeking him. And isn't that the truth? We're doing this whole series called Finding Jesus, but you got to recognize he is looking for us. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking for a relationship with us far more than we're looking for him. Now, I don't know if you find encouragement in that, but I find encouragement in that, that even when someone hates God or wants to disprove him, God is coming at them. God is eager to see the seeking God find the unseeking individual. But if you want to find the Lord, he is findable. He says, you will find me when you search for me with your heart, with all your heart. Today, we're talking about the idea of prayer and the connection with prayer. We got the baptistry heating up over here because a couple of people in our church family are at that point where this gentleman was, to say, I am surrendering my life to Jesus. Second service, Kyle and Stefan, he's going to be baptized into Christ. He's been struggling for 2 years to get to know Jesus, and now it's at the point of decision, you know, in his life. As we talk about this, I even think about Jesus not being lost, you know, that he's findable. But there was one day in Jesus' early life where he was literally lost. Do you know about this one? You know, someone said, finding Jesus, oh, is he lost again? You know, like it's the Christmas creche or the Christmas nativity scene and they're missing Jesus from the deal. And it's like, where's Jesus? Well, early in Jesus' life, when he was 12, it's the only example we really have from early on in Jesus' life. There's little, if anything, said about Jesus until he's an adult, except this one little slice in Jesus' life. And I think it shows us the devotional and prayer life, the spiritual life of the boy, Jesus Christ, as he went into the temple and he went to the synagogue to hear. He went on a regular basis to learn about the Lord. And while his folks were visiting and worshiping, he spent time, as a child would, hanging out. But unusually so, he hung out while the whole family was going back home. After 3 days, they realized he was gone. So this was a big family clan, and they're all headed back, and they're like, you got Jesus, right? No, you got Jesus. Nobody's got Jesus. And this 12-year-old boy is still back in Jerusalem, and so they go back, and they find him in the temple courts. If you've got your handout with you, I've got this scripture listed there. Go ahead and underline or note for yourself this idea that he spent time in the temple courts. He spent time where people were hanging out on a regular basis praying to the Heavenly Father. The temple was traditionally used as a place, a house, a place of prayer. And that's where Jesus was, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Can you imagine that discussion? A 12-year-old Jesus sitting and answering and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw this, they were astonished. So they were just starting to sense, well, how is this all going to unfold? His mother said, son, why have you treated us like this? You know, just a typical mom, just upset because he had left. And he made him come all the way back to Jerusalem to find him. Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know? Here's the key thing. I had to be in my father's house. A clear recognition that he had a superior father. Joseph was his earthly father, but his focus was on God the Father, Abba Father, the Lord God. They didn't understand what he was saying to them. He went down and Mary treasured these things in her heart. And, you know, this temple was the place of prayer. He was there not just to talk to the leaders. He was there, as all temple visits, to pray, to spend time in prayer. Now, God is everywhere, and you can pray to God on the top of a mountain, in a boat fishing. You can pray to God anywhere. But something special happens when you dedicate a place, you dedicate a time, you dedicate surroundings, and you dedicate fellowship around prayer. Something fantastic happens. In fact, that's why some people, why do you go to church? Church can be like it was for Jesus, a passionate time where we get together. In fact, I challenge you, do you know of any Christians who are thriving and growing in their spiritual life who are not worshiping on a regular basis? I mean, in your own life, if you put aside worship, corporate seeking God, corporate prayer, so often I talk to people and they just don't find growth. They don't find the flourishing, the growing that they really want. Finding God, finding Jesus here, talking in the temple was a key. There was a similar incident in my family. This is a picture of me when I was a little kid. And that's my mom, my two biological sisters, and my foster brother there on the side of me. And that's the church building we used to meet in Tacoma. And one day, my little sister, the one that's in the pink beside my mom there, she fell asleep on one of those old wooden pews. Now, that's not in the picture. We had three additional foster kids. So a family of nine, and we were taking lots of other kids home with us. So we all piled in the Rambler. It was a Rambler station wagon. Packed. There were no seat belts. We were all in the back. It was a blast, okay? It was a blast. I wish they didn't have seat belts. You know. We survived, okay? We all get home, and they did the same thing they did in Jesus' day. Where's she at? I thought you had her. No, I thought you had her. Oh, didn't Bruce get her? No, you know, so here we are going all the way back, and she's sitting there sleeping on the pew, you know, taking her little nap, you know. And so what happens? Okay, so don't criticize Mary and Joseph. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, you know. And don't criticize my poor mom, you know. She was doing the best she could, you know. How many of you had a similar experience? Maybe not church, but maybe left someone behind at a little Disneyland? No. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? How would you ever find them? Well, okay, how many of you ever lost your phone? Oh, okay, that's a little easier for us to figure out, right? Okay. Well, in this case, Jesus really wasn't lost. Jesus was just fixing his priority. And I want to tell you today, our whole study today, is that Jesus isn't lost because he's got this connection with the Heavenly Father. Even the days he was on earth, he just spent time. In fact, the first thing I want you to think about is Jesus loved talking to God, the Father. Jesus was passionate. Every day, Jesus would go out into a quiet place and spend time with the Heavenly Father. He loved to get alone with God. Some of the versions say the wilderness. Some of the versions say desert. Some of the versions say a place so he could be alone for prayer. It's not the desert and it's not the wilderness that's the important thing. It's a place where people aren't busily disrupting. And do we ever need that today in our busy, focused, challenged society and culture? A place to get away. That's one of the reasons I love taking kids to retreats and camps and places where there is no internet. There is no signal. It's time to unplug and there are no video games to play. You got to look at the trees. You got to look at the mountains. You got to look at the streams and go, wait a minute, creation. God made this. And you kind of this idea to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And something fantastic happens. But you know, I think God calls each of us to follow Jesus' model, his example, and just every day find an alone time. You know what I call mine? A quiet time. A quiet time. It's a little easier with an empty nest. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It was a lot harder with a full nest because you got to hide away a little further. But you find a time, whatever it takes. It can be an automobile, it can be a desk. It can be a log in the backyard. It can be whatever you find, a place where you're alone with God. Get away. Jesus got away. In fact, he was so regular about getting away that it frustrated the other disciples. In Mark chapter 1, this is just a great passage because all the town is coming to see the miracles Jesus is doing. They're camping out and he's ministering day and night. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. I mean, they're just lining up at the door. The whole town gathered at the door. Can you imagine this? Are you catching this picture? A teeny little house and a whole town stacked up behind it saying, can you heal? Can you heal this? Can you do this? And so all these people, it gets to be evening and he heals many. He drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Are you catching that? What time would that be like this morning? About maybe 5-ish? Yeah? Yeah, Brian says 5:30 was his time this morning, right? Okay. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. You know, that's always the first step. That's always the hardest step, isn't it? Okay, I see some head nods there. If you're going to spend early alone time with God, the first thing you got to do, in fact, I have to start way before that. I have to start the night before and hit the alarm on my phone that's going to wake me up. If that doesn't happen, I'm probably not going to have the quiet time that I really want to have. It starts even earlier. Jesus had his alarm, and it went off, and he left the house. He got up, and he left the house. Why would he leave the house? Well, the whole town's camping out there. It's a crowded place. He wasn't going to spend time alone with God in the midst of all these people. And you kind of see what happens as it goes. So you have a desire on Jesus' part. You have a time and you have a place. He went off to a solitary place. Now, just note to self, you got to have a desire. You got to have a time and you got to have a place. If you say, yep, tomorrow I'm going to spend some time with God and leave it nebulous, guess what? The next day you'll say, you know, I was going to do that yesterday. Tomorrow, I'll spend some time with God. If it's nebulous, it ain't going to happen. More likely than not, you won't just find the time. In our crowded bombardment culture, you will not just find time. You've got to do what Jesus did in his crowded bombarded culture. While he was being bombarded, he had to set aside a time, set aside a place, and passionately desire to spend time with God. And what did he do once he got there? What did he do once he got there? Where he what? Why would the Son of God have to pray? Have you ever thought of that? He's the Son of God. Now he could turn stones into bread. He could do whatever he wanted. Why would he talk to the Father? See, totally different concept of prayer than you and I have. It was prayer to commune with the Heavenly Father. It wasn't like you and I sometimes do. Here's my laundry list. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me the lever to pull on the celestial handout. The celestial vending machine in the sky. God, give me this. God, give me that. Jesus didn't need that. He had that down. But he wanted a desired relationship. He wanted an intimacy with the Father. So what he did was prayed. This one chapter and verse alone should redefine our idea and our concept of prayer. Prayer is not just going through the list. Prayer is talking to the Lord. Jesus loved talking to the Father, spending time with his Father. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, all these things I say, he says, I don't teach anything on my own. He said, the only things I say are what the Father gives me to say. You go, whoa, he was so in tune with the Heavenly Father that he didn't even teach on his own. It was like, I'm going to give them exactly what the Father wants me to give to them. That passage, here it is. When they found him, the disciples are all ticked off. Why are you out here devoting yourself to prayer when we've got a ministry to follow? We've got a ministry. We got people camping out on the door, Lord Jesus, come on. And he said, nope, I've centered myself. I've heard from the Father, and we are going to go somewhere else. What? You can't go somewhere else. They spent the night. They're all camped out here. They're waiting for you to get out of your prayer closet so you can spend time healing people. Come on, Lord. No, he was so centered. He was so focused. Just the opposite. He said, we're going to go somewhere else. The center of his ministry was not just healing. And he felt like that, at least at that moment, it was eclipsing the very purpose for which he'd come. And if he had not gotten off by himself, what would have happened, like you and I, happens in our life, the busyness and the routine would have caught him up, and he would have been following his own will rather than the will of the Father. Because he followed the will of the Father, what was he able to do in 3.5 years of ministry? Oh, my Lord. Amazing. Changed the world in 3.5 years. How and why? Following the Lord. Folks, I want to just encourage you. If you want to change your family, you want to see your life and family transformed, it starts with your quiet time. Desire, time, place. Not as a, oh, I got to do this stinking quiet time. I'm such a bored. And look at it as a, I got to pray again. No, Jesus has the passion. It's like, I just want to spend time with my Heavenly Father. Eagerly jump into it. Not with a burden of this chore and this discipline. You mean I got to kiss my wife again? You mean, you know, I mean, just think about that. It's a relationship. You mean I got to talk to her all over again? We talked 6 years ago. You know, come on. Yeah. Jesus loved talking to God. Jesus taught talking to God. You can follow along this scripture. Bump it up a little, Brent.
Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his followers to pray. So Jesus told them, pray in this way. Father, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive our sins, as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us. And keep us from being tempted. Then Jesus went on to say, suppose one of you goes to a friend in the middle of the night and says, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has dropped in and I don't have a thing for him to eat. And suppose your friend answers, don't bother me. The door is bolted and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you something. He may not get up and give you the bread just because you are his friend. But he will get up and give you as much as you need simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. So I tell you to ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be opened for everyone who knocks. Which one of you fathers would give your hungry child a snake if the child asked for a fish? Which one of you would give your child a scorpion if the child asked for an egg? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your Heavenly Father is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks.
Just using that clip to read the scripture to us and visualize Jesus teaching. Here's the key thing I want you to think about. Of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, teach us how to heal. Teach us how to preach. Teach us how to teach. Teach us how to turn water into wine. Teach us a miracle. Well, the one thing that they were so impressed about in Jesus' life, that they begged him to answer them, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. There was something so radically different about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. It was something so different that they said, we don't know that entity. We don't understand what you are doing. So they're a ways off. They're looking at a distance, kind of, what's he doing over there? Who's he talking to? What's he saying? What's the what? And they walked up, and as they approached him, one brave disciple, I think it was Peter, who knows, one disciple, just says one disciple, it's like, you ask him. No, you ask him. No, you ask. Okay, I'll ask him. Lord, can you teach us to pray like you pray? Can you teach us how to converse and have a conversation with the Heavenly Father so he doesn't He doesn't really do any more modeling for them at the moment, but he gives them a little model prayer. You know what we call it, right? The Lord's Prayer. When in reality, it's probably better termed the disciples' prayer or the model prayer. Yeah. It's not really the Lord's Prayer because he's saying, here's a little template that you can go by. And there's nothing wrong with reciting on a regular basis the Lord's Prayer, but that's not the purpose, I don't believe, of his doing that. But it's rather listing out. And Jesus was so good at short prayers. I mean, there's some prayers that are two words long. And then long times. There was times where he spent the entire night praying. He prayed all night before he chose the disciples. He prayed all night before the transfiguration. He prayed all night before the crucifixion. He prayed all night long. And you go, what did he say? Well, it's sure a lot longer than the Lord's Prayer, which is, you know, a minute or two at most. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus taught talking to God. And the disciples noticed that they couldn't do some of the things in ministry that Jesus could do. He was doing all kinds of things, and they were stumbling along. In fact, they were trying to cast out some demons that would not come out. So they came to Jesus and said, what about these, Lord? And this statement, just catch this. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not drive it out? You could, but we could not. And Jesus replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Or the New International has a little footnote that says prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. So Jesus was showing them that his power in working miracles was not in him. It was through prayer. His ability to cast out demons, to change water into wine, to walk on water and calm the storm wasn't his own so much as through prayer. Through prayer. Now later he's going to tell his disciples, the same power is available for you through prayer. In fact, he says, you're going to do even greater things because I go to the Father. Jesus told them time after time. In fact, the only subject that Jesus teaches more about than prayer, guess what? And they never asked him this one. Generosity. Money. Yeah. The only one Jesus teaches a little bit more, it's almost parallel, but a little bit more than prayer, is generosity. What's that tell us about him knowing our hearts, huh? Yeah, for where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. Yeah. Yeah. But they didn't ask him. They didn't go to Jesus and go, could you tell us about this generosity thing? We need more teaching on that. But Jesus just kept giving them encouragement. But here he said, I'm going to tell you parable after parable after parable after parable about prayer. About prayer. And he said it so they would always pray. Underline that. So they would always pray. And not, what does 2 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 say? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. You mean I'm supposed to live my life in prayer? Yes, that's the Jesus answer. That's the Jesus answer. You live your life in such a devotional connection with the Heavenly Father. You love to talk with the Lord so much that you can't help but speak to him. So that when someone's speaking to you and you're ready to answer, you shoot up a quick prayer and answer. That you're constantly in a devoted stage where he says, always pray and what? Don't give up. Don't give up. We are so easily and so often giving up. Let's talk about the Jesus that's revealed through this, who is prayer life. Real quick, he reveals his heart for people. You know, what did Jesus love to do? He loved to bless the children in prayer. He'd lay his hands on them. He placed his hands on them, and he prayed for them. Just a microcosm. When someone was weak and vulnerable and in need, what did Jesus do? Pray. When someone was sick, he laid his hands on them and he prayed. When someone was demon-possessed, what did he do? He laid his hands on them and prayed. When there were little children, he just prayed. I gotta ask us, folks, are we that excited and devoted to prayer that we show our heart for people is the same as Jesus' heart for people. As he looked on the crowds, his heart was for them so much that he wept. The Bible says he was filled with compassion. He wept and he prayed over the entire city of Jerusalem. He prayed over the entire people. He said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They are tossed about, helpless. And he prayed for them. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I only do what I see the Father. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Let's move on. You know, those that were closest to him felt it the most. Those that were closest to him felt the prayers and had the prayers the most. Jesus would take his disciples from time to time. He would take them out on the mountain. It was like little mini retreats. Come on, James and Peter and John. Come on, Peter, James, and John. Let's go on a little retreat. Let's go a little further away. Let's get out of here and pray. And that's what they did. They went up on mountains to pray. They went out on deserts to pray. They went out on boats to pray. They were always out on, Lord, do you do anything besides prayer? He said, no. That was kind of a backhanded compliment once to me. They said, Pastor Bruce, you just think prayer's going to solve everything. It's like, yeah. I'll accept that, you know. There are other issues and we got to deal with them, but yeah, let's always start with prayer. Yeah. He loved his disciples and he poured into them. In fact, remember what he said to Peter? He said, Peter, I am going to pray for you, because he devoted himself to praying for them in John 17. But notice he said, Simon, Simon, the evil one, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But what's he say? I have prayed for you. What if you were sitting there like Peter? You were sitting there and Jesus said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He's going to put you through the fire like you've never been put through the fire. But take courage. I, the Son of God, the master you've seen for these last 3 years, I've prayed for you. By the way, you need to know, he's prayed for you. He's prayed for you. You know, Mr. Bold Peter says, I'm never going to, and he denies him 3 times. He was sifted like wheat, but he came back as Jesus' prayer. Notice he has prayed for you. That same passage in John 17, he said, I'm not just going to pray for the disciples who believe on me. I'm going to pray for the ones who believe on me through their word. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that they may be one, just as you are in me. So he prayed for our unity, guys. I mean, the number one thing on the mind of Jesus as he's going to the cross, this is John 17, right before he's headed out of the garden to go to the cross. The number one thing on his mind for you and I was our oneness, was our unity, was our togetherness. Folks, if we ever get this unity thing down, not just as a body, not just as a few of us in a room, but in the bigger, broader body of Christ, it is going to be amazing, because the answer to that prayer, he says, in me, they will all be in us, that the world may believe. That the world may believe that you did send me. Yeah, the world's evangelization, the potential of winning the world to Jesus is totally dependent on our getting that answered. And folks, we can answer that prayer. We have a part in answering that prayer of Jesus, that we would be one, that we'd be united. Jesus prayed and had a heart for just people, for the lost, for children, for everyone. He had a heart for his disciples, and he had a heart for us, the church today. He said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Well, let's move on. He was sitting in the garden and he said, I pray, Lord, if possible, let this cup pass from me. And this thing that happens when people are so disturbed, so concerned, that actually capillaries seemed to have burst in his brow. And it sweat, the Bible says, as it were, great drops of blood. You know, he was so burdened for us, he prayed for us. And an angel came. You know, amazing things happened to Jesus as he prayed. And folks, amazing things happen to us when we pray. Who knows how many angels have come to strengthen and to encourage. Yeah. Devote yourself to the disciples Jesus loved, to one another. I mean, that's the whole idea of the New Testament's prayer. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. Let his blessings expand. In fact, I want to end with this. As Jesus encourages us, he says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And I would say prayers at the heart. They will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. He didn't have the go-between like we do of the Lord Jesus himself. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Jesus loved talking to God. Jesus taught talking to God. Jesus reveals himself while talking to God. And Jesus encourages us. So I hope this isn't a guilt trip today. I don't want today to be, oh man, I got to tune up my prayer life. I just hope to encourage and inspire and let the finding of Jesus and his prayer life pick you up, lift you up, and lift your eyes to what his plan is for you. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for this passion of the Lord Jesus as he showed the focus of spending time with you, Lord. Lord, as we examine and weigh out our own spiritual life, we ask you to help us. Right now, today, Lord, as we commune with you, as we use these elements that represent the Lord, we ask for your help as we remember to remember. In Jesus' name, amen.